24 hours a day, 7 days a week. On demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can do nothing about it. BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked. Keep it locked.
Broadcasting from Bashani Radio, Spotify, iTunes, and iHeartRadio, live from New York City, this is the Linda Monroe Show, and I am Linda Monroe. If you want to know more about me and what I do, go to lindamonroe.com. Good morning, my listeners. I want to take the opportunity to thank you for listening to my broadcast each week and hope that they have been a blessing to your life to show you how to live the life you deserve. This morning, I'm honored to have on my show this morning Daryl Slade. He's CEO of No More Suits, LLC. He's also an author of The Alarm Clock and The Book of Rhymes. Good morning, Daryl. How are you this morning?
Good morning. I'm doing just lovely. How about yourself?
I'm great. So why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about you and what you do? And also tell them what's been the lowest point in your life and how it got you to where you are today.
Well, thank you for that. So my name is Daryl Q. Slade. I'm from Winston-Salem, North Carolina, born and raised. I went to school at Winston-Salem State University, HBCU here in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and I graduated in 2017 with a Bachelor of Science in Finance. And the lowest point in my life was when I lost my mother. I lost my mom at an early age. I was 14 years old. I was transitioning from middle school to high school. I was already when you are a teenager, you don't really understand life, or you're beginning to understand what life is. And for me to lose my mother, it kind of got me way off track. I didn't really care about anything but seeing my mother's face again. So that was one of the lowest points of my life. That was 10 years ago, and it'd be 11 years in February. And I still battle with that today as I'm growing and becoming an adult and transitioning into manhood. So that was probably one of the lowest points. But The Alarm Clock is a book for anybody who's been through a pain similar to that, who grew up in a single-parent home or has dealt with any real struggle, whatever it may have been, to show them how to continue to navigate. And it's somewhat of a blueprint to use that pain to create prosperity, So.
Okay, so when you graduated from Winston-Salem State, I know when I met you, you told me you went to work in the corporate world.
Yes. Did you want me to expand on that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. So when I had to peel back a little bit. When I got to college, I knew I wanted to go to college for business. I always wanted to be an entrepreneur, but I didn't really understand what being in business really was, because I never had anybody to show me what it's like to, be in business and run an effective business and the ins and out and to be literate in the business field. So when I got to college, I just said I wanted to go for business because I wanted to have my own business one day. I didn't even know what I wanted the business to be. But I joined this group at Winston, called the Student Investment Fund my freshman year. And in the Student Investment Fund, I learned about the stock market, and I didn't even know what, you hear about the stock market, but I didn't even know what a stock market was. you know. But I just kept going, and I learned more and more about different stocks and companies and equity and assets and all these different terms. And then it opened me up to a new world called corporate America. And then maybe, you know, fast forward to like my senior year, that's kind of where my passion was leading towards. I wanted to be on Wall Street, as they would say. My plan was to, you know, go to Wall Street and be, you know, an executive for one of these Fortune 500 companies, you know, and live that corporate lifestyle, because that's what I saw and it was appealing to me. And so that was where my journey took me after I had graduated. And really, this is what the story in the alarm clock is talking about, that experience of me going corporate and then getting out of corporate, you know. And a lot of people were puzzled by that. You know, people who knew me on the yard, they always seen me suited and booted and, you know, being involved with so many mm-hmm. different, you know, internships and organizations on campus. So it puzzled a lot of people, you know what I mean? Like a lot of people root for you to go corporate at a historically black college, because there's not too many of us. Now the trend is changing, because corporate has made a push for diversification. And so they are bleeding into the universities, historically black colleges, to get more melanated people into their workplace. Actually, when I was interning at Morgan Stanley, I was the only African American in the office besides my mentor, and it was a challenge for me, because it's, you know, it's hard to you know, be comfortable with yourself and around a lot of people who aren't used to seeing a young brother, you know, of color in the office. So that was one of the challenges that I had to deal with. But, you know, you go back to our culture, but historically black college, and people are like, you know, they ready to write articles and post and, you know, do all types of things. You know, they put you on a pedestal because you accomplished that. So that was really a challenge when I decided to step out of the corporate culture or corporate America.
Well, was that a real difficult decision for you, or you was like, no, I'm not wearing these suits every day? What was the turning point to say, look, I've had enough?
I was in Ohio, and like at Nationwide, and when I was there, like, I'm the type of person, like, I'm very energetic. I'm what most people would call a hustler, and like my hustle, I'm the type of person, like, if I have a meeting at 10 o'clock, I'm going to another meeting on the other side of town with somebody else, and then I'm going back to my office to work on another project, and then I like to move around. But in that office, you're boxed in. You know, I could have a project that's due on Friday, and I could get it done by Tuesday. So now I'm just sitting in the office, you know, just getting on Netflix and buying time. And it just kind of was tugging at my soul, and I was like, you know, it just kind of showed, like, it was like, he doesn't want to be here, because I really didn't. I just was like, okay, I'm done. Let me go knock out some other things, you know what I mean? But so it was like that, but then I was looking at it too, like, time, a lot of people get it misscrewed. Like, a lot of people like, oh, go get the big checks, you know, go get $60,000 and $70,000 a year, but they don't factor in time, you know. And time is more valuable than money, because when you're building a foundation, it takes time. And so with me becoming an entrepreneur, that's one of the most valuable lessons that I learned, is that you may not have, CEO money, or, you know, that entry level money, which is really a good check. You know, you're talking $4,000, $5,000 a month. And where I'm from, that's a lot of money, you know. And so that was a challenge within itself. But I look, when I make decisions, I'm looking 10 plus years in advance. So it was really a struggle, but I was comfortable. I was confident in what I was doing. And I had, you know, faith, and faith would just show you things that most people don't see. And it gives you confidence to be confident in the decisions that you're making. So when I left, I was like, I was really in a, you know, I had really got fired, but that was like a sign from God saying, this is the path that I want you to go down, because I was looking at it from this perspective too. It's not too many of us who own businesses, business systems, you know, or who's in that certain tax bracket, you know, who actually is on the same level of a Nationwide, you know. And so I was like, man, it takes somebody who has this willpower like me to get out in order to do that, because you can't duplicate that system if you're inside that system. You know, you have to actually branch out and build from the ground up and have a solid team around you, you know, and have the right knowledge and real education on how to do that.
So what, after you left that, what made you come up with the name for your business, No More Suits?
Yeah. Well, I think what I'll do is I'll speak. No More Suits is actually a poem. And in the poem, what it was a phone conversation that I had with my mentor at Morgan Stanley. And he was, you know, because once I left corporate America, I wasn't wearing suits no more. I was just, you know, it didn't require me to wear a suit. The only time I was wearing a suit was when I had to go to work. But I wasn't going to work no more because I had been fired. So I was, you know, in my sweats and my hoodies and everything like that. So, like, when he told me that, it kind of read me the wrong way, because who I really was the person, like, everybody, you know, has to know who they are. They have to be confident with the person that they really are. And it's like, you're wearing a suit because that's what what they tell you have to do. That's their code of conduct. You know, you have to wear that suit when you go into that office. And, I mean, some people, they like to wear it, you know what I'm saying? So it's a you know, you come to a mutual agreement, but at the same time, like, I'm a different person, you know, when I come home from work and I'm, you know, got my lounge clothes on, you know what I mean? The conversations are different. And so I wanted to create a culture to where it's like people can, it kind of reverse, you know, you could be, when you come into our corporate culture, you could be that person in the sweats and the hoodies, you know what I mean, and your t-shirts and whatever you feel comfortable with wearing, and but we still had a common goal to get work done. And so it's a poem. It goes like this. It's no more suits, no more ties. I'm in my hoodie hitting gyms. They only gonna listen to you when you cleaned up. Robes on like the biblical days. Knowledge is king. I'm in my hoodie, but they overlooking me. I guess I'm speaking in codes. I feel for the homeless. They without food, but they got the most fruit. I'm speaking loud, but I'm on mute, because you ain't got on your blue suit. You're not in corporate office, so you a failure. I came back to the bottom, because it's hell here. I wonder, when Jesus went to hell, was he walking on earth? Faced the evils of the peoples. Jesus never wore suits, but he spoke the truth. Mike seen them kids in the street without enough to eat. Salaries not helping the people in need, so they need me. Food for thought. I'm planting seeds in concrete, hoping people see. I'm hoping they read what's written in the trees. No more suits, no more ties. I'm just speaking the truth until I die in my hoodie, like mellow, but a mellow hello. And so that was what.
Well, did you ever think about being a rapper, Dan?
That's Carol? Just not. It's like you gotta have a desire to actually do that. But this is just a gift that just comes with the package of, you know, me in this lifetime, you know, poetry. So, but like I guess where I'm at, I'm more so focused on building the foundation. And once I have this foundation solid, mm-hmm. then I can get into the creative space to, you know, speak my poetry and all the et cetera.
Well, great. So so how did you come about becoming an author at such a young age? I mean, you have two books out. Well, you may have more than that, but at least you have a couple of books out. And what made you decide to put that in print?
Well, it was just like I had a always, you know, shout my one of my confidants out. Me and him had a conversation. We would have these conversations, and me and him actually, I talk about him in the book. We started our own business back in 2014 called Ram Connect, and we just had a different view on life. You know, like our mindsets was different than the average mindset. And so we would always have conversations mm-hmm. about, you know, business, about life, about faith, about desire, and, you know, hope, and all these things that I talk about in Alarm Clock. And he simultaneously, like, me and him related because we come from similar backgrounds, you know, and so it's like we wasn't supposed to be in college. It, you know, nobody, they expect for, and Winston-Salem, he's from Greensboro, and Winston-Salem and Greensboro, they don't expect for, you know, the young African-American male with our background to seek for higher education or to have a desire to start a business. And so that congruence kind of brought us together. And then we were like, he was like, bro, you got to write a book because you got a message that the world need to hear. And me, when I heard that, I ain't never, you know, that's nobody had ever told me that, like, and I'm like, I never thought about
uh-huh.
writing. I knew I liked writing. I always liked to write. It's just to, you know, clear my head. I didn't like to write in class, but I just liked to write, you know, what was on my mind and things like that. So when he told me that, I just kind of like, I ignored it. I was like, nah, he just talking. But then. But then he had wrote a book, and he released his book. His book was called Dichotomy, and his name is Chinomeza Okoro. And he was like, yo, he had a book signing, and he was like, you know, it was never about the money, but he was like, man, all my books sold out. He's like, I pay my bills with it. And I was like, word. And then it was like, I'm like, damn, and this is real. So I'm like, okay. He was like, bro, just promise me this. Just write 30 minutes a day. And if you don't release it, cool, but you try. And so I gave him my word on that, and I just started writing. My ex-girlfriend, she had left one of her notebooks in my apartment, and it was halfway empty. I mean, it was, like, most of it was empty. And me, I'm the type of writer, I could pick up a receipt paper and write on it, you know, so that was just what was in front of me.
Oh,
and,
wow.
Yeah, so I just started writing, and the whole Alarm Clock is written in that book, in that notebook, and I still have it to this day, the original writings from the Alarm Clock. And so it took a while. I started in 2016, and I released it December of 2017, so it was a full 2-year circuit to get that written, typed up, edited, all of that, all the et cetera. So in that process, I really discovered my love for writing, and I, you know, my vision that God was giving me started to become a lot more clear, you know, once I put the flesh, you know, mm-hmm. you know, like in the mm-hmm. word, it says, you know, in the beginning was the word and the word became flesh. So once I started practicing, you know, the word, the vision, and it started to become a reality. And, you know, I really enjoy writing, and it's taken me, you know, places that I never thought I would go, you know. And so literally it all started with a pen and a piece of paper, and now that turned into a book. And now, you know, we're building a publishing company for other writers and authors to, you know, get their message out. We just had a book workshop here in Winston-Salem. This is our company's first book workshop. It was on Saturday, and we had some authors from the greater Philadelphia area come down, who is a part of our team, and they had a platform to break down their books and the science behind their books and what their books is talking about. And so, like, this is just, you know, it's really humbling to see everything coming into fruition and manifesting the way that I, you know, you see, you know, in the back of your head. So
that is so exciting. Yeah, because putting out a book and just giving the world what God has put inside of you is so exhilarating, you know, when you can see the manifestation of it. Just like you said, just writing it down, you can't visualize the effect that it will have on the people that you're going to sell these books to. So I am truly, truly excited. You're such a young man, and like you say, people didn't expect you to go this far, but you showing them that it can be done. So when you left Morgan Stanley, was your mentor upset with you?
You said what now? I tried to get him. I'm like, come on.
When you left Morgan Stanley, was your mentor upset with you?
Yeah, he was.
Did he go ahead and say, man, go for it?
This is what he told me, and I'm going to call him out. He said, Slade, that's what he called him. He said, Slade, listen, I'm going to give you 1 year. This was on July 29th of 2017. He's like, I'm going to give you 1 year. I'm going to call you on July 29th, 2018. And when I call you, I'm going to offer you a job position. Because he was like, because he was looking at it from a different paradigm. He was saying, like, he knew, because, you know, he knew my dedication. He knew how energetic I was, and he knew how much that we could have done if I would have stayed in the wealth management industry. And so it was kind of like, I'm a Carolina Panthers fan, and Luke Kuechly, who was the, you know, arguably one of the best linebackers in NFL history, you know, where he's an asset for the Carolina Panthers. Like, he just randomly announced his retirement at 28. You
right.
know, that's young. And so that hurt a lot of people. Of course it hurt the team, but Luke Kuechly had to do what's best for him. And so my mentor was like, all right, I'm going to offer you, because he's like, and he also was looking at it like, okay, he about to go start a business. He ain't got no capital. He don't know what he's doing. He got to have a plan, you know, which was true. It was real. But when he called me, ironically, I had just started, you know, because I didn't understand, like, you know, I had to learn, and this was all still a learning experience. I didn't know that you can incorporate and start an LLC and what that really meant. So ironically, I had just registered my business, No More Suits, with the Secretary of State on July 5th, you know, 2018. And he called me like he said he would. And he was like, do you want to work? I said, nah, I don't, because it wasn't like turning him down. It was just going back to what the original conversation was. It was time. And I value my time because I was starting to make money. I was I'm also in the logistics industry, and so I'm working with trucks, and I'm learning how logistics works, how freight management works, and how that ties into publishing. And so I'm actually making real money now, and it's like I can't give up this because this is the future. And if I give up this, this is just going to be set aside. And, like Langston Hughes say, what happens to a dream deferred? And so I just had to, I was like, nah, and it was out of respect and it was out of love. And I appreciated him for sticking to his word because it showed me how much he believed in me, but like I was telling him, I'm like, I told him, I'm kind of like, I'm like Moses when Moses left Egypt, and, I had to go into the wilderness to find out who God really wanted me to be, and like, I don't neglect, like, corporate America, like, some people, that's what God is calling them to do in this lifetime, to go into corporate and to change lives and to open doors for other people. But he just had another calling for me, and I had to realize that. And it took me getting out in order to do that. So that's and me and him still talk to this day. And, he's like, he's proud of the growth because it's been a growth period since I left to where I'm at now, in 2020.
Oh, that is just truly awesome. So, I'm in the prison ministry, like I told you, so I see so many of our young guys get caught up in the system. So I am truly, truly proud of you and honored to have met you. And just give my listeners about three nuggets to our young African-American males that, this can be done. You can have your own business. You can walk into the blessing. You can walk into the prosperity that God placed us on this earth to do.
For the young black males, I say the first nugget is, and I'm the type of person I don't promote. I really don't like to promote, but I was just when you were saying that I was thinking about books, but I feel like the best book for our our young African American males or melanic men is The Alarm Clock, and because it talks about how I was supposed to, it was written for me to fall victim to the system, like it was inevitable, like I had switched schools. I was at North Forsyth High School, and if you're familiar with the Winston-Salem area, you know about that, North Forsyth. It's quote-unquote one of the worst schools in the county. But then I went to Reagan, which is the complete opposite, and it took a lot of loopholes for me to get there. But it was a chip on my shoulder, and, a lot of them was like, oh, here come another one of, another one of them. And they had the expectations for me to fail, And so, but for me, it was like I seen a whole different world. I seen people that was trying to get into college. I seen people who was talking about business. It was, the conversation was different. I had to go there to breathe a different air. And it just goes to show, like, your surroundings, what you put your mind to, reading a book. That's why another reason why I recommend The Alarm Clock is because it's an easy read, but it's also you reading. You getting in the habit of flipping through pages and dissecting words, and that will take you a long way. So that, read The Alarm Clock, but also follow your heart. We destined to be kings, and we destined to wear crowns. And you have to understand, the most important thing is financial literacy. But you also have to have a passion and a drive. So that's the second thing that I would say. And lastly, I would say the power of the mind. because it's a science to it. You know, people say, you know, your mind, you know, you use your mind and all that, but it's a science to it. You know, we are with melanin, it observes information and is connected to the cosmos, is connected to the stars, and we get information from the stars that creates creativity. It gives us a vision. It gives us hope. And there's frequencies that we don't see in the universe, but when we speak that, every time we speak, it's a vibration, and that vibration creates the right frequencies for us to tap into. So if you speak in negative things, those are going to be sound waves that you're creating, and then your body is going to tap into that frequency, and those things that you're speaking are going to manifest.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you wake up and say, I'm going to have a bad day today, you're going to tap into that frequency. But if you wake up today and say, I'm going to take steps closer to my vision, what it is I'm trying to accomplish, I'm going to become a billionaire, you're going to tap into that frequency. We say that Bill Gates is a billionaire, but we don't see $1 billion around him, like, you know, but he's a billionaire, and it's no different from him saying he's a billionaire and you saying you're a billionaire. You got to walk it. You got to talk it. You got to believe it.
Right.
You got to see it. And then it's going to eventually manifest. Time is going to catch up with your vision, and they're going to meet. But you got to be able to be confident in that and in what you speak. So that's the most powerful thing I would say. And just choose your circle wisely. You know what I mean? You are who you hang around. You know, so just observe who's on this mission with you. Because you can have people that's pulling you down, pulling you back, and you can have people that's pushing you forward. You know, and that's the people that you want around you. So that's what I would say.
Okay, and how can my listeners purchase your books?
Go to No More Suits, LLC.com, and you can see all of our books. I will, once we get the link to this will be on the website too. But all of my content is on there. We also have a list of other authors who's doing prolific things here in the Winston-Salem, North Carolina area, and the greater North Carolina area, Charlotte, Philadelphia, and we're growing. So check out our other authors' books on there too. But yeah, No More Suits, LLC.com, and you can find all our content on there. Also follow our Instagram page, NNS, so that's the acronym for No More Suits, NC, the acronym for North Carolina. So NMSNC on Instagram, and you could just stay in the loop of the events that we got coming up and the content that we're releasing and things like that. So,
okay, that is great. And I do want to definitely thank you, Daryl. I'm going to look for you. You're headed towards greatness. I feel that in my spirit, I tell you. And I am just so proud of you that you're so young and that you know God and know what God will do for your life. That last nugget was, I mean, that was a great one right there. You really got to have your mindset straight and, you know, look out who you're hanging out with, because that, it took me a while to learn that, because I always hang out with people that was draining my energy, but I just didn't focus on what they were doing. But God is doing great things for me as well, so I'm pretty excited. I had to cut some people out of my life, so that was the key. So, again, I want to thank you for taking the opportunity to Yes.
I just wanted to add one piece to that. Just going back to what we were saying about vibrations, vibrations and frequencies. Your thought power is a vibration too, and you can't see the frequencies and the vibrations, but if somebody around you, they may be smiling in your face, but their thoughts may be negative, and that's a vibration. And you could walk in,
right,
just like you walk into a spider web. You could walk into that vibrations unknowingly, and then your whole mood would just go down. So it's important to really have, even if you have to isolate yourself and you have control over your thoughts and the vibrations that you're putting out, you know, so that's very important.
So. Yes, it is. So, again, I want to thank you for taking opportunity out of your busy schedule today to do this interview with me. Broadcasting from Vashani Radio, Spotify, iTunes, and iHeartRadio, live from New York City, this is the Linda Monroe Show, and I am Linda Monroe. If you want to know more about me and what I do, go to lindamonroe.com. I hope everybody have a blessed and awesome and positive day, and definitely take Daryl's nuggets and run with it. Again, thank you, Daryl, and you have an awesome day as well.
Thank you. Hold up.
Bye-bye.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week, on demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can do nothing about it. VashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked.